Psalm chapter 1 in your Bible. Psalm chapter 1. And we're going to take the first three verses of this familiar chapter as our text today. Kind of hook on to last week's Sunday morning message and hit along the same theme today in Psalm chapter 1. All right, Psalm chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Give you a second to find your place there. We'll stand together and honor God's word. Let's do that. And we'll read responsively verses 1 through 3. Please join me on verse number 2 as we read this text together. And verse 1 says, "Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law doth he meditate day and night. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water." Here it is now, "that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper." And our Father, we bow before you this morning with a grateful heart. Pray now that you'll take these thoughts from your book in just a few moments. And Lord, may we glean from them something that'll help us be a fruitful Christian this year. As we tag on to the message last Sunday and bring it, I pray that God, you'll prepare our hearts for the preaching of your word. Bless the ladies as they sing, and Lord, speak to every person in this room, and I'll be careful to thank you for it in Jesus' name, and amen. Thank you. Be seated. Chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. Verse 3 says, "And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water." And that's what I want to speak to you on this morning, a tree planted. A tree planted. Let's pray together. And now, dear Father, please help us. We don't stop to pray just out of ritual. This is not, there's nothing in our bulletin that says pray here. We do this because we believe that the preaching of your word is an important thing, an important matter. We believe that the Spirit of God has the ability to do something in our hearts through your word. And we ask one time more before we begin to preach for the blessing of God upon this message. May it speak to our hearts and meet needs in this room. And I'll thank you in Jesus' name, I pray, and amen. Every person who has prayed at least once this week has probably asked God to, quote, bless me, end of quote. If I asked this morning, I won't do it. If I was to ask how many of you said, sometime this week, God bless me today. Lord, bless my children, bless my wife, bless my husband, or God, may your blessing be upon us or upon my family or upon me today. You see, blessing, it's an important matter to a child of God. Now, the book of Psalms was written in part to teach people, teach God's people, the way to blessedness and to warn us of the sure destruction of sinners. So for God's people, there's a way to blessedness. And for those who don't listen, there's a way to sure destruction. We see both in the very first chapter. This first chapter is a preface to the whole book of Psalms. And in the first three verses, they deal with the Bible deals with the way to blessedness. The last three verses deal with certain destruction of the sinner or the ungodly man. Now, the very first word of this whole book, the largest book in the Bible, the very first word is the word blessed. Blessed. First word. 150 chapters in this book. First word, blessed, is the man. And that word blessed is the word happy with an interjection. How happy? How happy is the man? How happy is the woman? That's what the word is here. You see, this is the state in which God desires for all of His people to live. God wants us to be blessed. He wants us to be very happy in this life. He wants us to live on blessing ground. You've been around Brother Caleb at all. You've heard him say something about being on blessing ground. That's the ground on which God can bless you, and you can be happy and blessed in this life. Let me give you five quick statements, and I'm going to preach these. Number one, God made man for blessedness and happiness. That's why God made man. Number two, every man feels a desire to be happy. Every person in this room does. I use the word man here, but I'm talking about mankind in general. You ladies too, you young people. Every man feels a desire to be happy. Every one of us does. Every man, number three, abhors misery. I don't think anybody here wants to be miserable. Now, misery loves company, but nobody here is longing to be miserable. You didn't pray this week, oh God, make me miserable today. God, make my wife miserable. At least I hope you didn't pray that this week. God, make my husband miserable today. Hopefully you didn't pray that prayer this week. Maybe if you were mad, maybe you did. I don't know. But anyway, you probably prayed, God bless it, because nobody wants to be miserable. Number four, every man pursues happiness because that's the desire of my heart, the desire of your heart. We're all going to pursue it to a degree. Number four, the problem comes when man pursues happiness where it cannot be found. Then he ends up in misery where he doesn't want to be. Number five, the true and right way to obtain true happiness is found in these first three verses. Blessed is the man. And I wish I had the time this morning to really go into detail on the wording here of chapter 1, verse number 1. Blessed is the man, the individual, that one who rises above so many others, that one who goes above and beyond, that one in 1,000, that one in maybe 5,000, that one in 100. Blessed is that man. That's what he's talking about here, where God wants us to live. Look at verse number 3. The blessed man shall bring forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither. Whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. You see, fruit bearing is a product of being blessed. Now, we looked at the subject of bearing fruit this year last Sunday morning, for those of you that were in the service last Sunday. This year, the certain man came around to inspect the tree, seeking for fruit, and said to the dresser, "I don't understand what's going on here. This is my third year to come looking for fruit, and I find none. What are you going to do with this tree?" We talked about bearing fruit last Sunday morning. We talked about the fruit of holiness, the fruit of the Spirit, the fruit of righteousness, the fruit of peace, and the fruit of soul winning. Five different kinds of fruit that a child of God should bring forth. Our life should be bearing those fruits. And by the way, don't settle for 1 out of 5. Don't settle for 3 out of 5. Pursue the production of all of those fruits in your life. All of them. Because then that man is blessed. That's a happy man. A fruit-bearing woman. A fruit-bearing man. And by the way, many people responded last Sunday morning to the invitation at the altar time. And I'm hoping that the prayer of your heart was, "Lord, I want to bear fruit this year." This year. Psalms says the blessed man will bring forth fruit. In fact, he will be like a tree planted. Interesting. By the rivers of water. Have you ever had a volunteer plant come up in your garden? Those of you that have a garden. You go out and there's a volunteer. Usually it's like tomatoes, squash, peppers, corn. Sometimes that kind of thing easily volunteers itself. You got to the garden. You didn't plant the seed. You didn't dig a furrow. You didn't prepare the soil at all. You went out, looked at the garden. Here's a plant growing. By the way, same thing happens with a little maple seed gets in the ground, a little oak tree seed gets in the ground. And then you go out one day and you find this little oak tree growing. You find the little maple tree growing. You didn't plant it, you didn't purchase it, you didn't prepare the soil and dig the hole and put the fertilizer, the Miracle-Gro or anything on it. It was a volunteer plant. A volunteer piece of corn, a volunteer tomato plant. Then, on the other hand, you have the situation where you plant a tree. You look for the perfect site. You know what kind of tree you're going to put there. You know what kind of sun and light falls on that piece of ground. And you buy the tree with that in mind, and you get the tree, and you dig the hole, and you prepare it, and you put the right fertilizer in there, and you get the mulch, and you get the right kind of soil, and you on purpose plant that tree in a place where you know it's going to do well. You don't plant a tree where you think it'll fail. You don't spend $35 or $40 on a tree hoping that it's going to die. You spend $35 or $40 on a tree and you put it somewhere in a purposeful place so that it will bear fruit, so that it will grow and be a strong tree or plant. Now, God says that the blessed man is like a tree that's been hand planted in a perfect location. The water, the sun, the soil is all just right. It's likened to being by a river of water. You know, trees flourish by water, don't they? You ever been driving through an area that is unfamiliar to you? Maybe you're going through a state or a place in America where you've not been before. You don't know the topography of the land, and you're driving through there and you're just kind of taking it all in, taking in the scenery. Maybe it's flat, maybe it's a little rolling hills, and you're going down the road, and off in the distance you see a line of trees meandering through the countryside over here, a thin line of trees. And then you got the road, and then that line of trees meanders on beyond the road on this side. What do you safely assume is ahead? A river. You figure there's a river up there. Why? Because that meandering line of trees growing, green-leafed and full is a good indication that there's water up there, because trees flourish by water. Now listen to me. Every child of God should desire that place of fruitfulness. Every child of God should want that place being planted by the rivers of water. Why? Because there you bring forth your fruit in its season. There your leaf also shall not wither. And there everything that you do will prosper. Every child of God should want that. I want that. You should want that if you're saved. You shouldn't be content with just going year after year after year, never bearing any fruit. You want to be the tree that's planted in the right place, the proper place, the good place, the place of nourishment and food where you can bring forth fruit. Oh God, let me be a fruit-bearing, blessed Christian. Let me be that type of person. That should be my prayer and your prayer. And in order for that to be so, and it can happen to everybody in this room, in order for that to be, there are some truths in verses 1 and 2 that I must not ignore. Because verse 3 is a continuation of verses 1 and 2. In the beginning of verse number 3, you have that conjunction and. So it's tied right into verse 2. And he. The man who pays attention, the woman who pays attention to the truth in verses 1 and 2. He, that person, shall be like a tree planted on purpose by the river of water. That person's leaf will not wither. That person's fruit will bear. That person will prosper in everything that he does. If you don't ignore the truths in verses 1 and 2. If you're interested in being a fruit-bearing Christian this year, you've got to give attention to verse 1 and 2. Lots of folks came forward last Sunday morning. Lots of folks prayed, God, make me a fruit-bearer this year. Are you interested in bearing fruit? Are you interested in bringing forth your fruit and your leaf not withering and prospering and being that child of God that's a fruit-bearer so that when Christ comes around to inspect, He finds the fruit on there that He sowed. So wonderfully desires. Are you interested in that? You've got to pay attention to verses 1 and 2. First of all, in verse number 1, we learn the things that we must not do. The blessed man must avoid three places if he wants to bear fruit. If you're interested in bearing fruit this year, there are some things you must not do and there are some things you must do. First of all, he deals with that which we must not do. You must avoid three places. Number one, look at it. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. So if you want to be fruitful, you have to avoid the counsel of the ungodly. You say, what's the counsel of the ungodly? The opinions, the advice, the counsel of the ungodly. See, you will not bear fruit and be like the tree planted by the rivers of water if you give a listening ear to the advice of ungodly people. I'm talking about people who are unsaved without God in their heart. Let me give you an illustration. Brother Caleb was telling me this week about somebody that's been saved here recently and how excited they were, taking their Bible to work. And man, was all pumped up and excited after the Wednesday night teaching on the matter of soul winning and so forth and so on. And that's what happens. People get saved when they get saved out of a life that's empty and meaningless and burdened down with sin. And God sets them free and the Spirit of God lives in their body and the forgiveness of sin takes place and the burden is lifted. You bet. That's exactly what happened to me 30 years ago. I got pumped up about it. I was excited about this thing. I was excited about being saved. That's happening to folks who are getting saved. Now, here's a person like that, anybody like that. And maybe they're the only one in their family or the only one at their workplace. And boy, they go back to work on Monday morning or they go back to work on Thursday morning or they go back to their family and they say, man, you go back to your friends and you say, man, I just got saved. And my life has changed. It's wonderful. And I go to church every Sunday. I go Sunday morning. I go Sunday night. I go on Wednesday night. I used to hate church. And now I go there and I like it and it's exciting and I'm learning something. And I'm reading the Bible. And in innocency and in spontaneity and impulsiveness, they're just excited about being saved. Amen. And somebody goes, well, I know what I believe about church. I believe that church is wherever you are. You don't have to go to church to believe in God. And there's a lot of hypocrites at church. I just worship God on my own. I think church is wherever you are, and that's good enough. Now, you know what that's called? That's called bad counsel. That's called bad advice. That's what that's called. Or somebody says, well, Yeah, I know you're saying you're reading the Bible, but you know what? The Bible is full of contradictions. It's only a book written by men, and there are so many Bibles out there. You know, how do you know which one is right? Boy, the Quran is a holy book too, so I don't know, whatever trips your trigger, man, but the Bible is so full of contradictions, I won't read it. You know what that is? That's bad counsel. That's bad advice. Next time somebody tells you the Bible is full of contradictions, hand them your Bible and say, show me one. Show me one. They tried that with B.R. Lakin, who was the most quick-witted preacher ever in history, as far as I know. Unbelievable mind. And a fellow told him one time, well, I don't believe that Bible because it's so full of contradictions. And B.R. Lakin handed him one, handed his Bible, said, show me one. Sputtered like an arc light. Well, there's so many in there, I can't find one. He said, yeah, find one. He said, no, you can't find one contradiction in there, and you don't believe that. You're just polyparroting somebody. He said, you don't have a brain. He said, your spinal cord ends at your neck and grew hair on it. That's what he told me. I thought that was pretty funny myself. And that's the truth. The Bible's full of contradictions. Show us one. Show me one. See, that's bad counsel. That's bad advice. Well, I believe nobody can know for sure that they're on their way to heaven. You know, you just do the best you can, and hopefully God will let you in someday. He's going to weigh out the bad versus the good. And I'm going to do more good than bad in my life, and that's what I believe. And I'm not so sure that there's life after death anyway. You know what that is? That's bad counsel. That's bad advice. And I wouldn't put a whole lot of confidence in what preachers say. You know, all preachers are just money hungry, and all preachers are just men, and all preachers are just this. He's just speaking his opinion. Now, unfortunately, sometimes I guess that's true. But I'd be careful about the use of that word all. Are all accountants bad? Are all truck drivers bad? Are all plumbers bad? Are all lawyers bad? Well, we have a point there, amen. But anyway, no, not really. No. I'd be careful about those big inclusive words, amen, or those small inclusive words. Be careful about that. You know, that's bad advice. That's bad opinion. Look, I'm preaching this morning asking you, do you want to be like a tree planted by the rivers of water? If you do, you've got to avoid the counsel of the ungodly. You've got to avoid that bad advice. It's got to go in one ear and out the other. In one ear and out the other. I'm talking about things that you hear on TV. And buddy, every time you turn that tube on, it's a risk. Did you know that? 90% of the time, you're going to hear some bad counsel coming out of that box. Sure you are. So you've got to be careful about that. The radio, the talk shows, even secular books that are written by men who deny the reality of heaven and hell. They deny God and Jesus Christ. They deny the veracity of the Word of God. You've got to be careful that you peruse through books like that, because that's counsel coming from ungodly. And you've got to be careful about that. Sure you do. You've got to avoid the counsel of the ungodly. You must do it. If you're going to be like a tree planted, you must do it. You must. There's a second thing you've got to avoid. Look at it in verse number 1. Nor standeth in the way of sinners. You've got to avoid not only the counsel of the ungodly, but you've got to avoid the way of sinners. Avoid the practical life of people who are unsaved and without Jesus Christ. What is the way of sinners? Well, think with me for a moment. The way of sinners. The way of unsaved people. No Savior. No Holy Spirit, no Bible, no fellowship with God, no life in Christ, no divine wisdom, no joy, no peace, no victory, no light, no purpose, no future. That's the way of sinners. And I can't walk in that way and be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. Can't walk in that way. You see, your life, my life, is to be different, walking in the Spirit instead of walking in the way of sinners. Walking in the Spirit, not fulfilling the lust of the flesh. The selfish, grab all you can, eat, drink, and be merry. Go for broke because tomorrow we die. Gamble and drink and dope and fornicate and lie and steal and curse and deceive and pursue the desires of the flesh. pursue the natural way of sin that comes out of an unsaved person's heart who's not converted to Christ. You see, you'll never be like a tree planted if you run in the way of sinners. You won't do that. Won't be it. Won't happen. The blessed man must avoid the counsel of the ungodly. The blessed man must avoid the way of sinners. Now listen to me real closely. You got to go to sinners to reach them with the gospel. Paul said that. Paul said there's no way you can take yourself out of the company of sinful people if you're going to reach them for Christ. But there is a humongous difference in having a relationship with someone that you're trying to win to Christ for Jesus' sake and having a relationship with one as far as fellowship and fun and ha-ha and pleasure and being together all the time if they're unsaved. It's a big difference in that. You can't walk in the way of sinners. You see, you just got saved. Maybe you've been saved 6 months, 10 months, 12 months, a year, year and a half, 2 years. Do you want to be like that tree planted by the rivers of water? You can't go to the riverboat casino. You can't do that. That's the way of sinners. You can't do that. You can't be like every other live together couple in your apartment complex. You can't be like that. That's the way of sinners. You cannot be the tree planted by the rivers of water in that place of fruitfulness if you run in the way of sinners. Do you want to be blessed? You've got to avoid the counsel of the ungodly. You've got to avoid the way of sinners. He said, blessed is the man who walketh not, who doesn't stand. And then he said a third thing. He said in verse number 1, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. So you got to avoid the seat of the scornful. You say, Pastor, who's the scornful? What is that? This is the one who not only has an opinion that's antichrist, but he openly mocks and scoffs at Christ and His way. That's the television show I hoped you called about. I hope you called about this past week, called The Book of Daniel. I called about it and got the recording. Left my message on there and told her. She said, I'd call you back. I never got a phone call back on that one. I'm talking about David Letterman and Jay Leno. I'm talking about people who don't just possess an opinion that's anti-God. I'm talking about people who mock God. They mock the way of truth. They mock Christ. They mock the Word of God. They mock Bible-believing preachers. They mock Bible-believing Christians. They scoff at. You can't sit in the seat of the scornful. You know, to that person, everybody is a Puritan. That's the word that they use. She's puritanical. He's puritanical. I don't believe, friend, in all that the Puritans did. When they first came to this country, they even persecuted some of the people who were for soul liberty. But I'm going to tell you something. They used that puritanical word, that Puritan word, as a derogatory term about people who believe in living right. Well, you're a Puritan. You don't believe in homosexuality because you're a Puritan. You're puritanical in your opinion. They mock, they scoff at Bible truth. You can't sit in the seat of the scornful. Now, wait a minute, folks. Wait just a minute. No one in here is going to go out and jump into the seat of the scornful. You know why? Because that's so blatant and that's so open, we're all aware of it. Nobody here is going to go hold hands with Jay Leno. Nobody here is going to buddy up to David Letterman. Nobody here is going to buddy up to the people who produced the show, The Book of Daniel. Nobody here is going to buddy up to the anti-God crowd who mocks God, mocks Jesus, mocks the Word of God. Nobody's going to go hobnob with them. But wait a minute. We didn't start out in the seat of the scornful. There is a subtle downward digression. You start out by walking among the counsel of the ungodly. And if you're not careful, that leads to standing in the way of sinners. And then if you're not careful, it leads to sitting in the seat of the scornful. There are people who claim to be children of God who are trying to convince others that lesbianism and homosexuality is of God. That's called the seed of the scornful. But you don't get there in one big leap. Are you listening this morning? You don't get there in one big jump. Nobody's going to volunteer for that this morning. Nobody wants to volunteer to line up with the homosexual, lesbian, anti-God. And believe me, they are anti-God. If they worked their will in their way, they would take the mention of God off everything. Take Christ out of Christmas and they won't stop there. They'll get in God we trust off of our money. They want to take under God out of our pledge of allegiance. They want to build a society that's without God. Now, nobody in this room is going to run, jump in with that crowd. But that's not where you start out. You start out by walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Well, church isn't that important. The Bible's full of contradictions. And you can't believe any preachers. And everybody's a hypocrite, you know. And you listen to it. Oh, well, yeah. That's where it starts out. It starts out you not being careful with your television set. Starts out with you not being careful with your talk radio shows. Airwaves filled with homosexuals. All those freak shows on television. Starts out with you walking among the counsel of the ungodly, and before you know it, you're standing in the way of sinners. Man, you're in places where you never ought to be, involved in things you never ought to be involved in. Pretty soon you end up sitting in the seat of the scornful, and you end up a fruitless child of God. Unfulfilled and unhappy. And it all starts out with walking in the counsel of the ungodly. Listen to me very carefully. I can understand a child of God who's excited trying to win a friend to Christ, trying to win a co-worker and a neighbor. But brother, you what you may have to do, if you're newly saved, if you've been saved for 30 years like me, you've got to be careful what counsel you listen to. You better be sure that the counsel you heed comes out of this book right here. Are you listening this morning? So those are things that you must do. Excuse me, must not do. You must not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. You must not stand in the way of sinners. And you must not sit in the seat of the scornful. Those have got to be avoided if you're going to be like the tree planted by the rivers of water. Now verse 2 is what you got to do. Look at it. Verse number 2. But instead of verse number 1, in place of verse number 1, but rather, his delight is in the law of the Lord. And in his law doth he meditate day and night. His delight is in the law of the Lord. His delight is in the Word of God. The Word of God becomes his everything. I made a visit this week with a fellow who's been here a couple times, and he said, Pastor, in so many words, he tried to get me to agree with him that there's something in the Christian life that's beyond the Bible. He said, you believe that there's life in Christ that takes you beyond the Bible. I don't know that I understand his question today. But I said, friend, let me make it very clear what I believe. I believe the pages of this book right here contain everything I need for life and godliness. And I believe that according to 2 Peter chapter 1. According as His divine promises hath given unto us everything that pertaineth to life and godliness. Within the covers of this book right here is everything I need to know to enjoy a life of blessedness. This is my lamp. This is my light. This is my bread. This is my water. This is my milk. This is my meat. This is my honey, my fire, my peace, my counsel, my joy. This is my guide. This Word of God. That's it right there. Everything. What I mean? What I mean? His delight is in the law of the Lord. That must be from my heart and must be from your heart if I want to be like the tree planted. That picked out, purposeful, beautiful, nourishing place of fruit bearing. God will plant me there. if I'll make the delight of my heart His Word. His delight. And by the way, I want you to notice what He said here. He didn't say He is under the law, but His delight. No. He's not burdened by it. The Bible does not say His delight is under the law of the Lord. His delight is in the law of the Lord. In it. He's not burdened down by it. He's not bound up by it. No, sir. This book will liberate you. It will free you to live a life of happiness and joy and peace. You see, your problem is you believe that this book is going to bind you and shut you down. If I walk by the principles of that book, I'm not going to have any fun. I'm not going to have any liberty. I'm not going to have any peace. I'm not going to have any fulfillment. No! 10,000 times no. Just the opposite. You walk opposed to this book and you'll live in bondage. This book sets you free. Oh yeah? His delight is in the law of the Lord. Oh yeah. You say, you're trying to say that if you just own a Bible, you're promised success. No, not that at all. His delight. His delight. And I'm not trying to push Jesus Christ out of the equation. This is the written Word. He is the living Word. This is Jesus on paper. This is everything He is. How do you know that? He came to fulfill all righteousness. He lived up to everything in the Old Testament and the New Testament. He is the fulfillment of everything written here. Jesus Christ is life. And believe it or not, this book is alive. Now, it's not going to jump up and down like a jumping bean. It's not going to fly off the pulpit in a life of its own. But it's alive. It brings life. It creates life. It's a living book. And by the way, make a little distinction here. It is one thing. Boy, this gets a lot of us. Listen very carefully what I'm about to say here. It's one thing to claim, I'm getting ahead of myself. Look at that word right there. His delight is in the law of the Lord. You see that word law right there? What that is? Torah. You know what that refers to? The Torah. You might take a guess at it. What? Pentateuch. The first five books of the Old Testament. You say, well, why would David use that word? That's all he had. His delight is in the Pentateuch. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. You plowed through those books recently? You read Leviticus recently? You read Numbers recently? They're great books, but man, get over that New Testament, amen? Are y'all with me this morning? Amen. What are you saying, Pastor? I'm saying, look, brother, if this man could delight in the first five books of the Bible, you got 66 of them. We got Genesis through Revelation. He didn't have anything in the New Testament. He didn't have Acts. He didn't have Romans. He didn't have Revelation. He didn't have any of the Gospels. He didn't have the historical books written at that time. All he had was the first five books, and his heart delighted in Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, and Deuteronomy. Five books. I have 66. You mean I can't find a few of those to delight in? Listen very carefully. It's one thing to claim a measure of purity because you avoid the counsel, the way, and the seat of unsaved people. Let me ask you a question. Is that where you placed your delight? It's hot in here. It's warm in here. Are you listening this morning? Have you placed your delight? Oh, Pastor, I am so separated. I don't walk in the counsel of the ungodly. I don't sit in the seat of the stand in the way of sinners, and I don't sit in the seat of the scornful because I am so holy. And I believe in holiness. I'll preach about that tonight. But is your delight in what you don't do? Is that where your delight is? Look what I don't do. Listen to me very carefully. It is your duty to separate from the way of sinners and the counsel of the ungodly and the seed of the scornful. It's your duty. But that shouldn't be your delight. In fact, folks, sometimes that's difficult. Because sometimes that means I've got to separate from friends of a lifetime. And sometimes that means I even got to watch it when I get around my lost family members. So that's not much fun. Your delight should not be anchored or found in what you don't do. Your delight should be found in this book. My delight is in God, in truth, in wisdom, in peace, in joy, and happiness. My dear friend, delight in the truth of this book. It's a delightful thing to have the copy of this Word of God. It's a delightful thing to be able to read it. It's a delightful thing for the Spirit of God to speak to my heart through it. It's a delightful thing that it has precepts, judgment, statutes, counsels, wisdom that'll help me live a victorious, fruitful Christian life. Delight in what you have here. Take the duty to separate from that which will make you ineffective. And delight in God's good book. Do you want to be the tree planted by the rivers of water? You go right into verse 3. And the person who doesn't do the things in verse 1 and the person who does the things in verse 2 is going to be like a tree planted. You're going to bear fruit. You're going to have a green leaf. You won't wither. And whatsoever you do will prosper. You'll be like a tree planted. Huh? Isn't that what you want? That is what I want. I want fruit. Not so I can make a big show for myself, but so that God will be pleased with me. So that God will be blessed. God will be satisfied and take a little measure of happiness in my life. If I can bear fruit, if I could just be that tree planted by the rivers of water. And I know exactly what this is talking about. I've had to do both in my life. I've had to avoid the way of sinners, the counsel of the ungodly, and the seed of the scornful. I had to say goodbye to some people over the course of being saved that were not good for me. And then since the day I got saved, that's been a special book. I've tried to give it its proper place in my life. And friend, if you'll do those two things, God says if you'll not do the one thing and do the other thing, you'll be like a tree planted that bring forth His fruit. You want to bear fruit this year? We talked about that last Sunday. You want to be a fruit-bearing Christian? You've got to avoid the things in verse 1. You've got to do the things in verse 2. God has a hole for you. It's all prepared. He'll put you right there. And you can bring forth fruit. Heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Thank you for listening. I'm sorry. It got warm. I'm sweating like a... I know you saw some of you fanning. I apologize for that. Who's here today? Brother Angel, I'm sure that I'm saved. On my way to heaven, I know it. There's no doubt about it. I'm saved and I know it. Would you lift your hand, please, all over the room like that if you're saved and you know it. On your way to heaven, God bless you. Take your hand down. Who is here and say, Pastor Angel, I'm not sure that I'm saved. I couldn't raise my hand just then. If I died right now, I don't know where I'd spend eternity. And that concerns me. It's not just a matter of bearing fruit in this life for me. It's I don't know where I'm going when I die. Would you pray for me? I'll be happy to if you'll raise your hand. Would you do that right now? Pray for me, Pastor Angel. I'm not sure that I'm saved. Put it up. Take it right back down. Take it up. Put it right back down. Front to back, side to side. Not sure that I'm saved. All right, who's here this morning would say, I've been saved, Pastor, but never baptized in deep water since I've been saved. God bless you. You came prepared to get baptized this morning, come right ahead. We have folks that are prepared and ready to help you get baptized this morning. You come while we wait. That's good. God bless you. Now, is anybody else, Pastor, I've been saved but not baptized. I've trusted Christ. I know I'm on my way to heaven. But I've never followed the Lord in believer's baptism. Pray for me. Anybody like that today? All right. You want to bear fruit? You want to be a fruit-bearing Christian this year? You got to be careful, friend, to avoid the counsel of the ungodly, the way of sinners, and the seed of the scornful. And then you've got to put your delight in God's Word. And I'm afraid a lot of people who put their delight in what they don't do, and they never read the Bible, never live by it, never delight in it. But they take great delight in what they don't do. Well, it's a combination of both. It's avoiding those places and immersing yourself in God's Word. And He shall be like a tree planted. That's God's promise. Who's here today and say, Pastor, that's the desire of my heart this morning. I would love to be that tree planted. And God spoke to me about verse 1 or verse 2 or both. What I have to avoid and what I have to do. Pray for me. Would you lift your hand, please? There's a lot of hands. God bless you. That's my prayer, too. I'd like to bear fruit this year. Dear Father in heaven, thank you for the wonderful promise of your book. And I pray and ask that each one of us would so live so that we would be like a tree planted by the rivers of water. God, please help us to be careful of the counsel of the ungodly, the way of sinners, the seed of the scornful. And help us, Lord, not just to be careful about those things, but help us also to delight in your word, to just immerse ourselves in it. God, help us this year to be like that tree planted. In Jesus' name. Our heads are bowed and eyes closed. Maybe you have to make a few changes, folks. That's what it's all about. Maybe you got to turn off the radio. Maybe you got to come down to the altar this morning and say, enough of Dr. Phil. Enough of the Jerry Springer show. I'm done with it. No more Jay Leno. No more David Letterman. No more talk radio where they mock God, Howard Stern and his filthiness. No more of that. It means making some changes. No more running with the crowd to the casino. No more running with the crowd to the tavern. I can't do that. It'd be like a tree planted. It brings forth its fruit. Or maybe your need this morning is, you know what? I don't go to the tavern, the casino, but I haven't picked up my Bible in 7 days. I've been too busy for my Bible this week. His delight is in the law of the Lord. And He'll be like a tree planted. Let's stand, please. Why don't you do a little business with God this morning? Ladies, play us a song of invitation. Why don't you come this morning? The Spirit of God speaks to your heart and you raise the hand today. I'd like to be like that tree planted by the river. Would you come? A lot of hands went up. Would you come? Would you come? While we wait, prepare for baptism, and He shall be like a tree planted. Like a tree